Or if someone has wronged you, do we forgive them? Do we shun them? Do we give them the dirty eye? Or do we even allow it to continue to build and build until the sin becomes untamed? Sometimes when someone sins, when someone is taken in a fault, when someone has done something wrong, transgressed, sometimes we just let it build and build and build until it becomes out of control. You see it happening in someone else's life, and then we just stand back and watch it take place. Or we see it in our own lives, and we don't take the necessary means or the necessary steps to try to get it fixed. Sometimes it can be called an addiction. Sometimes it can be called a besetting sin. Whatever the case might be, it continues to go. Tonight, we will look at a passage that deals with this and how to restore fellowship with others. The title of this evening's message is, Are You at Fault? Let's look at verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Submit to you this evening that when someone or yourself is in fault, you need to be restored quickly. Don't let it linger. Don't let it wait. Don't let it fester. When you're at fault, take care of it immediately. We're going to look at that in the first 10 verses of Galatians chapter 6 this evening. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I pray that you just help us here tonight, that as we look into your word, that you just help us just to see what needs to be done, what we need to do in our lives, and that we would just ultimately hear the message, receive it, help me as I speak, just to speak on what you need, and that we would just be able to see where we need to improve and grow in our relationship towards you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look in Galatians chapter 6, the very first word that pops up is the word brethren. So already with the writer Paul here, right, to the region of churches in Galatia, he starts with the word brethren. So brethren, already, we already have an idea of who is this talking about. It's talking about you and I. When the Bible uses the word brethren, especially in the New Testament, it refers to the Christian. So right now it's to you and I, to those who have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. So it says brethren. And then the next word here is if. That's a great word in the English language because it creates a condition. It creates a scenario. And the word says here, brethren, if a conditional particle in case that. So basically, Paul is saying here, hey, this might happen. Obviously, Paul doesn't wish, God does not wish for you to be in fault, doesn't wish for you to transgress, doesn't wish for you to do wrong, but he has set something for us to be able to handle if someone or ourselves fall into sin. So the verse starts here, brethren, if a man be in error, so got man or woman, if a man be overtaken here has the idea of to take in advance, to anticipate, or to be surprised. Sometimes when someone does something wrong, it's a surprise. It just springs up, and we're like, whoa, that person actually did something? I thought this was super spiritual guy 2.0. Or this is something that has been premeditated. Or they anticipate that someone, knowing the characteristics of what they have been doing in the last couple days, last couple months, now it's finally taken him over the edge, taking him off the bridge. Forgive the pun for that, jumping off the bridge. So if a brother, if a man be overtaken, so falls into a fault, a side slip, an error, or a willful transgression. Now, what I want us to understand first of all here is when someone sins, when you and I sin, when we do something wrong, it is willful. This is something that we do. We choose to do that. James 4:17 tells us, wherefore to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. So when we sin, it is a choice. It's not, oh, whoopsies, I accidentally sinned, I kicked somebody. Woo! Oh, I'm sorry. Let me help you out. Let me give you a band-aid. No, it's something that you think about, you premeditate about, you, something that comes up from little things in the past, and now it's blown up. Someone has now done something wrong, maybe to somebody else, to you, to your best friend, or whatever the case might be. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, here's the next phrase I want us to understand. First of all, this is when someone sins. Okay? When we sin, the next phrase here says, ye which are spiritual. Now, you can take this one of two ways. One, oh, I'm super spiritual. I'm going to help my brother, my sister, because she has done something wrong. And me, since I can never do that, I'm going to be here to help them out. I'm going to wait till they fall down, and then I'm going to help them. Or you can take it as, oh, knowing, and we'll find this out later on in the passage, that, oh, they've done something wrong. I need to help them out. Knowing that I could do the same thing. You can list the sin. I'm not going to list them. But, and we all have a sin that we fall to time and time again. And that we need to have an accountability for. So, the verse says, the passage says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual. Why does it say ye that are spiritual? Well, you don't want someone who is already living for the world coming up to this brother and saying, oh, let me help you out. Why? Are they in fellowship and in tune with God's word right now? No, because they have fallen into sin themselves. You can't help somebody in quicksand if you're already in there. How do you help somebody in quicksand? Someone has to be on solid ground and pull them out. You can't be sinking along with a person and say, hey, I'm going to help you out. Or two people drowning in a pool. How's the one person going to help the other person drowning in a pool if they're drowning themselves? Ye which are spiritual. Here is the next phrase that a lot of people miss. Ye which are spiritual, restore. Restore. What does restore mean? In the passage here, it means to complete thoroughly, to repair, to adjust. Basically, if someone does something wrong, as a church, we ought to forgive them 100%. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes in churches today, we see someone do something wrong. And maybe there's been envies and jealousies about that person for a while. And then we get into our heart and we say, man, I just hope this person does one thing wrong. So that way we can take that person at the church door. We can give them a holy kick out the door and we'll never have to see that person again. Get out that sinner out of our church. Well, newsflash, you and I are sinners too. Okay. We need to restore. The last thing you want in church is division. The last thing you want, as we mentioned this morning, is murmurings and disputings. The last thing you want in the body of Christ are people tearing down other people and not forgiving them back. If a church doesn't forgive somebody who's done something wrong, you're not a church. Let me say that again. If you don't forgive someone who's done something wrong and they're willing to come back and you say, no, I don't want you anymore. Then, and if we did that as a church, there's no reason why we should be called church. Because what did Jesus do for us? You take it back to Calvary, you take it back to the cross, nothing beats that. So, let's understand this entire thing here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now that's key. You restore, you bring him back into fellowship in the spirit of meekness. The key here is with meekness, to be gentle. You know that person's already done something wrong. You don't need to yell at them and say, "Hey, you! You did something horrible!" I know. No. In gentleness and meekness, help them to see how they can fix that problem. Here's the other thing. Restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Now, what the Bible is telling us here is, you know, we could be in that same person's shoes. We could be the one that could be doing that sin. And we see someone else do it. We need to be in mind as we restore that person back into the fellowship that we could do the same thing. Now, there are instances in the Bible where it does mention about if someone does something wrong, you go to the person face to face, you confess that fault, and if they don't do it, then you take it to two or three witnesses and they bring it in front of the church. And then if they still don't confess, then they are cast out. But not on the first time. You say, "Oh, we don't want you anymore. Get out of here." Why? Because we could fall into the same thing. You fall into the same trap. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Knowing that we could do something wrong or the same exact sin, we must restore others. So what does that mean? When we're at fault, we need to restore them. Why? Why is that the case? Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Wait a minute. So you're saying here that we ought to care for one another? Yes. I'm not saying that. What does your Bible say? Bear ye one another's burdens. Take on other people and pray with them and be with them and be side by side with them. Why? And so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to love one another. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy might, and love thy brother as thyself. We ought to bear one another's burdens. Why? For if a man think himself to be something, verse 3, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Too much confidence will cause one to fall. Too much pride will cause one to fall away. No one wants to handle a know-it-all who is void of wisdom. No one wants to say, "Oh, this guy, he don't care about me. He thinks he's better than me." No one wants to be around a person who's like that. Verse 3, for a man think himself to be something. We could be, doesn't matter what you are, what position you hold. When I worked at Winn-Dixie for 16 years and just recently transitioned to another job, I worked my way up from bag boy up to second manager of the entire store. Now, this is not a crazy story about me, but this is something I've learned. The same mentality that you have as that bagger to move all the way up into management, you need to keep that same mentality when you're in management. As the second manager of the store, if I don't work as hard, or if not harder than anybody else in that store, why am I even there? I've met, unfortunately, some managers who put their hands in their pockets, don't touch a single thing, and just tell people what to do. Why? Because they've got the power. They've made it. Because they've made it, they don't have to worry about getting dirty. If I didn't come home from work after being dirty and having to take a shower every day because of how hard I worked, I would not feel like I got anything accomplished. Now, of course, it was retail, so stocking shelves, stuff like that tend to make that happen. But the point is that the same mentality that you have as you're moving up the ranks of needing to work as hard as you can to give glory to God is the same as when you get to that top position, you don't stop there. You still have to continually serve. You still have to continually keep that same mentality. No one has arrived yet. Once we get that mentality, then, I mean, you could easily say, oh, yeah, I've made it up. I am now the Sunday school teacher at the church. I am the pastor of the church, the assistant pastor. I'm a deacon. I'm in the choir. I've made it. Okay. Let the pride build up in you and then fall. Because if we take that attitude, verse 3, if a man think he himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Oh, God will find a way to humble you. If you decide to lift yourself up in pride, he'll find a way to humble you. Verse 4, well, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Begins in that section about bearing one of those burdens, but then we got to take care of ourselves too. We can't just be, oh yeah, let me help you out, but then not worry about your own problem. Can't help somebody else if you have a problem. Goes all the way back to verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Prove here in verse 4 means to test or to approve, to know your character, to not get the praise of others. Verse 5 explains to us a man's work will yield his own reward either of Christ or of others. And then verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. We need to be sound in the word of God. It says that in the beginning, let him that is taught in the word. First you're taught, someone has to teach you. Then notice the next nice long word there, communicate. Communicate. Have you ever been on the receiving end of no communication? Sounds like an oxymoron what I just said, but where you have a lack of communication. For me, I like to know what's going on. I like things to be in order. Chaos is not my thing. Maybe because it's the left-handed, right-sided brain logical aspect. I have no idea. But I like things to be in order. If something's not in order, I then start to take charge and make sure things get back in order. I like to know what's going on. I'm not big on being surprised. I know that surprises you, but being surprised, I mean, it's a great feeling, I guess, once it happens, but when you're trying to do something and you have a mindset of, oh, I need to get this and this and this done, and then, oh, well, something comes up. Addressing the surprises usually don't work out well for me. But communication is the key to everything. If myself and Brother Rod and Pastor, we don't communicate, how are we going to know how to stay in unity with one another? I mean, it's not going to work. Now, I haven't had this yet, but in the marriage relationship, if the husband and wife don't communicate, how is that going to work out? Or child to parent. If there's no communication in that realm, how are things going to go smoothly? Communication is key. There's different ways of communication out there today. Verbal, phone, computer, tablet, other things. There's different ways of communicating, but if we don't use those tools, how is it going to help us? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So first, we see here that if we're at fault, we need to restore, knowing that all of us bear burdens and that we need to care and help out one another. Secondly, in verses 7 to 10, we're going to look at not mocking God, a life as a steward. When we're deceived, we need to be restored, and not superficially, but cleansed completely. And as a brother or sister, we need to be ready to help. If not, we can get deceived even more. And now we need to watch. Now we need to look at verses 7 to 10 and finding out that what we reap is what we sow. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Deceived here has this idea to go astray, to err, to seduce. God is not mocked. Mocked has this idea of to be ridiculed. I don't know if anybody who likes to be mocked. I don't know if anybody who likes to be ridiculed. Now, I like to have fun with people. I like to be sarcastic. Probably sometimes a bad thing. But, for instance, me and Jefferson, he might be watching later on here, but me and Jefferson, we like to have some banter between each other, where because of data, he took a loss, now we call him Big L's. So that's just banter between him and I. I don't think he's a big loser, but it's just the communication, the banter that we have. We had, for another instance, where we had one of the guys we were working with, now I'm working with PE and teaching children, and this is just a sarcastic banter side of me, but we had a guy who was trying to figure out, because we normally put the first aid out, and we pray, hoping that no one gets hurt. But for some reason, first aid wasn't coming through his mind that day. I don't know why. I mean, only he knows. So he comes out and says, we need the healing, or just the first aid kit. So every time now, we say, hey, don't forget the healing. We give him the healing so we can put it there. And it's just sarcasm that we tend to have. But no one likes to be mocked. Now, when we do this, we're not mocking each other. We know that we're not making fun of each other here. But the Bible tells us here that be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. God is not mocked. God cannot be ridiculed. What? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what you do, you get the reward for it. If you sow in sin, you'll reap in sin. If you sow in righteousness, you'll reap in righteousness. How so? How do we know that? Well, verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. So you sow to the flesh. Galatians 5, 22, 23, 24 tells all about fruits of the flesh, the works of the Spirit. Let me change that. Works of the flesh are these. You do things for the flesh, you're going to get worldly rewards, pleasures, desires. But verse 8 says, but it continues, but he that soweth to the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So you sow to things that are of the flesh, corruption occurs. You sow to the Spirit, you get spiritual fruits. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you don't see something going your way, don't get discouraged. Sometimes when you pray to God and you ask God for something, it will not come right away. Sometimes it might come in a couple of days from now. Might be a couple of weeks, might be a couple of months, might be a couple of years. I've been praying a prayer now for 12 years now, and it hasn't happened yet, but that's okay. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it hasn't happened yet. But let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get discouraged. Why? For in due season, eventually, we're going to be in 2019. And then eventually, if the Lord waits and tarries, we'll be in 2020, which will be weird to say. But 2020 will be 2 years from now. And so on and so forth. Spring is going to come again. But we're all waiting for winter so we can get out of the humidity that we're in now. But we should not be weary and wondering, for in due season, eventually the time will come that we will reap if we faint not. The father of modern missions, Adnan Judson, went to India. He was there for many years, about 6-7 years. He had not had a single convert come to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And people started questioning him, why are you there? You're not seeing anybody saved. You're not seeing any fruit. You might as well just give up. You know, the average missionary only spends about 2.5 to 5 years on the field today. Churches, pastors, average 2 to 5 years. Thank the Lord we've had a pastor here for 34 years, and hopefully in September it'll be 35 years. September of next year, we've had the exception to the rule. Why? People want to see results now. We are a results-driven society where we want things right here, right now. Forget about waiting. If you follow sports, the term that you hate to hear about your favorite team is a rebuild. What that means is they're tearing down your team, and they're rebuilding their team up again, getting all these young players who are going to play through all these mistakes and lose a lot of games and tank, I guess you could say, in an effort to try to get a long-term sustainability where they won't have to worry about not being so bad in a few years, but they take the hit for 1 or 2 or 3 years to hopefully be successful for the next 5 to 10 years. But it's a cycle. Bible tells us, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you consistently come to God, ask to God, talk to him about it, eventually God will give you what you need. It may not be, like I said, immediate. It may not be within this year. This year is almost over. And then verse 10. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do good to all. Treat all believers well, especially those who are faithful to the word. When we're overtaken in a fault, when we fall into sin, the Bible reminds us to restore, to forgive completely. We need to reach out to those who have fallen, not neglect them or spite them, not kick them out of the church because they've done something wrong. The church is made up of sinners. We're all sinners, but we're all sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to reach out to those who have fallen. May we take heed to this and know how to help those in need, and to know what we reap, we will sow, either good or bad. Those here in the auditorium this evening, those watching by way of video, Facebook Live, have we been overtaken in a fault? And if we have, are we willing to confess that? To come to God and say, hey, I need your help. And then us as you and I, are we ready to forgive them? Now, I'm not saying you have to admit your sin to everybody here in church this evening, but if someone comes to you and says, are you okay? And you're not, are you willing to have that person invest in your life to help you out, to help you be accountable? Because the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, we come to your prayer. We thank you for this time this evening. Father, I pray that as we examine ourselves, that we would see where or if we have fault within us. Either we've done something wrong and said sin has come back to get us again, or whether it's something we've premeditated we've done. Father, may we be ready to forgive. May we be ready to come to you and ask for forgiveness. And maybe there's someone that we need to forgive this evening, that we need to come to them and say, hey, I've done something wrong to you. You may not even know it, but I need to fix that this evening. Maybe you have to make a phone call this evening to somebody who has done you wrong. But being the one spiritual, being the one who wants to help them, that you would help them to seek forgiveness. Or maybe we need to apologize to somebody else for something that we've said, we've done, even in relation to what we talked about this morning with murmurings and disputes. Father, I pray that you would just bless and move this invitation time, we pray. That you would work on our hearts, and we would see what we need to do to keep our hearts and minds clean and pure before you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.